From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of old-time radio. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open today's program with an episode of The Devil and Mr. O. This was a series of repackaged episodes of Arch Obler's classic anthology series Lights Out, which first aired in the 1930s and 40s. The series, with updated commentary by Mr. O, aired on various radio stations in syndication in the early 1970s. This broadcast, program number 17, aired on WVNJ in Newark, New Jersey, on January 7th of 1972. Official Killer.
Lights out for the devil and Mr. O. It is later than you think. Turn out your lights now. We bring you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly so that if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now. This is Mr. O. Arch Obler. Let's go back today to another time, the time of King George III of England. But our story is not a monarchy. It's the story of an ordinary man by the name of Samuel Jones, who had the extraordinary profession of official killer for the state.
See? See the leaf? Right here in my hand.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that a new leaf?
Yes, it is a new leaf.
Here, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Get it? Leaf? New?
What does that mean? To turn over a new leaf.
Well, in serious?
Mm-hmm.
Means that you're gonna have a little change.
From what to what?
From bad to good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, suppose somebody was crying.
They could switch from tears to a smile.
Suppose they were lonely.
They could go from loneliness to having somebody to play with.
Well, suppose somebody wasn't loved. Could they turn over a new leaf?
They could go from not loving somebody to loving somebody.
How do they do that?
All they have to do is try to love somebody.
Just try?
Yeah. It's easy to love people when you try.
Love makes all things new again. Hey, what was that?
Another sound of love from the Franciscans.
And now, if you haven't already done so, turn off your lights now and listen to Official Killer.
Dead. Do you feel anything when you're dead? Are you hungry? Are you cold? Are you tired when you're dead? No. When I'm dead, I'll have peace. I've got to have peace. Kill myself. Yes. Bullet in my heart. The pain. I don't like pain, but it can't hurt. They say it doesn't hurt, only hanging hurts. I know it does. I've seen their faces when they cut them down, purple, black. I've seen their faces when the masks came off and there's pain in them. Pain that twists their faces, grinds their teeth, and gives them living hell until at last they die. That's why I've got to use this pistol to kill myself. I can't stand pain. All I want is peace. Peace. It's getting late. I've got to do it quick before they get here. I ran much faster than they did, but they've got here quick enough. I've got to be dead when they come in through that door. They can't bother the dead in their grave. I'll be dead, deep in the grave. Why should they blame me? I only did my duty. Someone's got to be the hangman. Someone's got... That's what he said to me that night. That's what his lordship said to me 20 years ago, it was. He said...
Samuel Jones, eh?
Yes, your worship.
What makes you think you can do this work?
Oh, I just know, your worship. I know all about hanging, sir. Everything there is to know.
Well...
Hemp rope's best, sir. Hemp rope, but... Each rope's got to be fresh and new for every job, and you've got to keep it soapstoned and always in a cool, dry place.
Well, you do know something about it.
Oh, yes, sir. Then there's a short drop and a long drop. The long drop's better, sir. I know it is.
Eh?
It breaks their neck, sir. Every time it breaks their neck.
All right. I'll give you your chance. We're having a hanging here tomorrow. I'll let you do it. If all goes well, I'll recommend you to the prison board. If all goes well.
All did go well. Why not? And there I was, executioner for His Majesty. 5 guineas, a broken neck. 777 hangings in 20 years. 777 broken necks, and mine the hand that sprung the trap. 777 times. And now the hand's got a pistol in it. When they reach here, when they knock on that door, I'll press the trigger, and so I won't have to face them. None of them. 777 broken necks, and no one knew that I was the man who did it. Not even she knew it. Ellen, my own wife, not even she. I met her, married her, and she didn't know. Until that day. Infernal day, that meddling fool nosing around.
It's the truth. I'm telling you, Mrs. Jones, as God's the judge.
Oh, no, no, there must be some mistake.
No mistake at all, Mrs. Jones. No mistake at all, my husband told me. And he never makes mistakes, not my husband.
What did you say?
State executioner. You know your husband's the... Oh, don't you know?
Please, I don't know what you're talking about.
Look here, don't you know what your husband does?
You mean the business he's in?
Business? Aye, hanging's a business.
Hanging?
Hanging. On a rope.
But what has Samuel to do with those?
Mrs. Jones, are you saying you don't know that Samuel's the hangsman?
You must be crazy.
Oh, so I'm crazy, am I? Well, he's the hangsman, and no mistake about
it. He's not.
And I think
he's not. He's not. Get out of here. Get out. Get out.
Oh, now, you don't have to be. Well, here he is. Ask him yourself.
Oh, Sam.
What's going on here? What's the matter? What is it, Ellen?
Oh, Sam, this woman.
What about this woman? What?
All I've done is to tell the God's truth.
Oh, Sam, she says...
Says what? What?
All I said was that you were the hangsman, as you are.
Get out of here.
Now, just a minute.
Get out. Get out.
All right, I'll go.
Say one more word about me and I'll kill you. You hear me? I'll kill you. Meddling fools. Meddling fools.
Sam.
You shouldn't have talked to her. Why did you listen?
Sam.
Things like that, it isn't good for me.
Sam, it is true.
Man's got to earn his living.
A living from killing?
You're crazy. I don't kill. I don't condemn them.
You killed them.
I tell you, I'm not the judge. Oh, now, Ellen.
Don't touch me, hangman.
All right, that's what I am, hangman, hangman.
Hangman.
Yes, hangman, hangman. Say it again and again. What do I care? I like being a hangman. You hear me? I like being a hangman.
Oh, no.
Yes,
no.
And here's something more.
No, Sam.
I like killing them.
No.
I like the way they stumble when they walk up the stairs.
No.
I like the cold whiteness of their skins when I put the noose around their necks. I like the way everyone looks at me, watches me, and then the crash and the rope stretches. Sometimes their legs kick in the air and you hear them heaving for a little air. They can't get past the tightened rope around their neck.
No, Sam. No, Sam.
When I was a boy, they strung a man up from a tree just outside of a town. And I watched him and I saw him dance on air. And I said to myself, someday I'll do that too.
No.
Hang them, legal, make them dance on air because it's a law. And now I'm doing what I wanted. Executioner for the crown. And Whalen won't change it a bit. Now, come here to me.
No, stay away from me.
Come here.
No, I won't stay with you. I won't, hangman. I won't stay with you. I'll go away.
I thought she wouldn't leave me, but she did. Ellen left me. I looked all over, couldn't find her. After a while, I didn't care. What's a woman? I had my work. Hanging work. 5 guineas a hanging and gold coin. 5 of them. 5 golden guineas. I like the sound of them. I like the sound of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I bought a strong box and kept them there. Every hanging meant 5 more. Paying me, they were for what I like to do. It was funny, very funny. I didn't miss her. No, why should I? I had my work. I got to be good at my work. The courts were good, too. They gave me plenty to do. I tried out different ways. I made a hanging machine with springs and sandbags that jerked the man into the air first and then dropped him through a trap. I tried out different ropes and different running nooses. Oh, I got to be good at it in 20 years, real good. Ticking, ticking, stop ticking. I hear you, blasted clock. I hear you. What are you trying to tell me? I know. There isn't much time left. They'll be here soon. Let them come. I'm ready. Pistol in my hand, I'm ready. After the first knock on the door, I won't be here to hear them. I'll have peace and quiet. Whatever they say to me, I won't hear it because I'll be dead. And why should they say it? What's done is done. 777 of them. It was fun because each died different. 777 different hangings. It was fun, I tell you, fun.
summer morning. And some went to the gallows to cry. Best of all, I like the one that went out crazy scared. Screaming, yelling, wailing. Yes. The ones that were crazy scared were the best. I like them fine. And 5 guineas just the same for having found 5 guineas. Once I had at the door, I heard a sound. No. I just imagine no one's knocking. If they knock, I press the trigger. They won't get me, not me. 777 at 5 guineas each. Coins that bit into my flesh when I grabbed them tight. Oh, I like the sound. Money, money, yellow money. First, I like the hangings best, and then the money. Then I got to like them both. Watching, eager around the courtrooms, this trial, that trial. Would they hang him? Would they hang her? Would the judge say guilty? If he did, it meant hanging another 5 guineas. Oh, I'll watch for business, new business, my business. Hang them up and watch them die. Well, they knock on the door when pistol's heavy in my hand. He used the pistol too, they said, Tom Allen. I read about him in the court announcements one day when I was outside of the courtroom looking for new business. Hanging business.
Thomas Allen, 20-year-old law student, was charged by the city police with having murdered his sweetheart, Lorraine Hamilton, 19-year-old daughter of Arvin Hamilton. Young Allen denied the charge vigorously. He stated that the girl had sent him a letter in which he told of her intentions of committing suicide. But at a late hour, Allen was unable to produce this letter. He was held without bond at the tower in the church.
Yes, that's what it said. That's what it said. He'd murdered her, young girl. The minute I read it, I said to myself, Sam Jones is the next one. I could hear the money clinking in my hand already. And Tom Allen hanging by his neck.
We leave our The Devil and Mr. O's story of official killer for a short message.
When you've got a family to feed, you know there are ways to cut high food costs, and we'd like to tell you an economical, tasty way to serve top-quality meat dishes. Today's answer is high-protein ham, H-A-M, ham, Krakus and Atalanta imported Polish ham. When you buy Krakus or Atalanta Polish ham, there is no waste, no grizzle, no bone to throw away, and no water added. It's all lean, flavorful ham, right down to the very last tasty bit. And you can even use the small amount of jellied broth to make soups more nourishing or to create delicious gravies. And ham is also perfect for breakfast, school lunches, and snacks and parties. It is the easiest food you can prepare because Polish ham is fully cooked when you buy it. So if you wish, just zip open the tin, slice, serve, and enjoy from end to end. Get exactly the right size for your needs. There are 2, 3, 5, or 7 pound cans, as well as larger sizes. You can buy Polish ham sliced at deli departments. Remember that Polish ham always goes further to please your entire family and your budget.
And now, back to our The Devil and Mr. O story of official killer.
What am I thinking about? What am I... Why don't they come and knock on the door and let me get this over with? I need the knocking on the door to give me nerve enough to press the trigger. This waiting, waiting... I waited for Tom Allen, too. I waited for them to say guilty to him so I could put the running noose around his neck. I waited, waited, going every day to the trial. The prosecutor for the Crown said...
Guilty.
The young man's solicitor said...
Not guilty.
The young man said...
I didn't do it. I tell you, I didn't do it. She did it herself. She wrote me a letter saying that she was killing herself. She wrote me a letter. She wrote me a letter, I tell you. She wrote me a letter.
Yes, that's what he said. She wrote me a letter saying she was killing herself. But where was the letter? Where was the letter? Nobody knew. Couldn't find it. And day after day, sitting there in the courtroom, I could see the noose coming close and close. A few days more and he'd be dancing on air. Another 5 guineas in my box. Such a pity. Such a handsome young man. Strong young neck for my rope. I say he didn't have a chance. What good did it do for his solicitor to keep saying...
I tell you, gentlemen, it is circumstantial evidence and circumstantial evidence alone which has been produced. A weird combination of circumstances have conspired to make it appear that the suicide of this unfortunate girl was a murder committed by this equally unfortunate young man. And an equally weird set of circumstances have resulted in the disappearance of this vital letter, which clears Tom Allen of all responsibility for Mistress Hamilton's death. In this letter, the girl clearly stated that she was taking her own life by poison. In spite of the absence of this letter, surely you, as intelligent men, can tell after seeing and hearing Tom Allen's testimony that he is telling the truth, that such a letter did reach him, and that he is innocent of all wrongdoing.
But there was no letter. He didn't have a chance. The prosecutor for the Crown got up. He said...
A letter. The mysterious letter. And where, gentlemen of the jury, is this letter? To what mystical realms has it disappeared? This wondrous communication which so conveniently absolved Tom Allen for the death of that poor girl. Where, I ask again, is this letter? The young man has stated repeatedly that the letter was in his lodging undestroyed. But every inch of that lodging has been carefully examined. And yet the letter has not been found. And why hasn't it been found, gentlemen? I'll tell you. It is because that letter does not exist. Lorraine Hamilton never wrote such a letter. She was murdered. Murdered in a fit of jealous rage by this man who expects you to believe a preposterous story about her letter.
Yes. I sat there and I felt good. Because I saw that young fellow didn't have a chance. My noose was getting closer, closer to his neck. And then the black cap on the judge's head.
For this vicious crime against the order and security of the Crown, you, Thomas Allen, are hereby condemned to be hanged by the neck until dead.
No! No, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, I tell you. I didn't. I'm innocent. I didn't do it, I tell you.
Then I had him. All his yelling, all his screaming wouldn't do any good. I had him, all ready for my noose, guilty. I wanted to go up and thank the judges. Gave me business, hanging business, devil's business. Why don't they hurry up and get here? Wouldn't have to think anymore. Knock on the door, I wouldn't have to think. Finger squeeze the trigger, finished piece. I won't have to think. I wouldn't have to think what happened then, what happened after they said the boy was guilty. They put him in a cell, death cell, the door shut tight. And I stood and watched. They put him in a cell. 5 golden guineas in the saddle. A few more weeks and he'd be mine to teach that dancing lesson on thin air. I counted every day until they'd give him to me. I peeked along the corridor watching his cell. The warden of the prison said,
"Well, Sam, it certainly looks as if you're going to have another customer. I suppose you heard about it. The king refused young Allen's last appeal. He hangs in 2 more days. We'll try to make his going as easy as we can. I like the lad. Too bad about that letter, he says the girl wrote him. Well, no use talking about it. We've got to do our duty. Oh, by the way, if you're going past the cell, here. Here's some books of his. His landlady sent him. Thought he might like to read them while he had the time. Take them with you, Sam, and give them to him. It'll be his last time to read."
So I took the books along. Why not? Why not? Reading wouldn't save that neck. I started down the corridors with his books, down the corridors toward the death cell. Something white fell out of one of his books, and I picked it up. It was a letter, and it read,
"Dear Tom, I told you I was going to kill myself, and now I'm going to do it. By the time you get this, the police ought to be accusing you of murder, since undoubtedly all those people who heard us quarrel the other night will be testifying that you killed me. That's the main reason I'm sending you this letter, so that you will have some proof that the poison they'll find in me was self-administered. Forgive me, I'm just tired of living."
And it was her name signed to it, hers, that girl's. The one they said he'd killed. This was the letter he'd been yelling about, the letter he wanted to save his neck. But his neck belonged to me already, 5 guineas. I stuck the letter deeper in my pocket and just waited until the night. The warden.
Well, Sam, it looks as if we're going to have to go through with it. Now, I want everything done properly and no mistake. Going to have a large visitors gallery. Very distinguished people. Say, and that reminds me, there's been some woman trying to see you all day. Some woman. Don't know who she is, Sam. She says she's got to see you.
Well, I wasn't seeing any woman, not that night. There was my work to do. See that everything was ready. The rope was ready. Everything perfect for a perfect hanging. It grew later and later. I could hear him in the death cell pleading with the minister.
But you've got to help me, sir. You've got to. You've got to get the king. He's got to believe that I didn't kill her. I didn't. Oh, won't anyone believe me? She wrote me a letter. She wrote me a letter in which she said she killed herself. She wrote me a letter, I tell you. She wrote me a letter.
Yes, a letter. The letter was in my pocket, and there it was going to stay until it was all over. He couldn't live. He couldn't live now. I'd waited too long. It had been such a long time since they'd given me a good, strong neck to hang. They couldn't cheat me now. At last, it was the hour. They came for him in his cell. They led him down the corridor. And then they were marching him up the stairs to the gallows. I was waiting. The rope was in my hand. The boy looked up at me, his lips moved. He said,
I tell you, I didn't do it. The letter.
Black hood over his head.
The letter, I didn't kill her. The letter, I tell you, I didn't do it.
The trap. His heart.
This man is dead.
It was done. This man is dead. Five golden guineas, the warden said.
Good work, Sam. Broke his neck.
I went out into the street. I was walking home. I felt real good. Five golden guineas. A woman came up to me and said...
Are you Sam Jones?
Yes, that's me. What do you want? I haven't got time
You'll have time to listen to me, hangman.
Who are you?
Look at me.
Ellen.
Yes, Ellen.
Wife?
Wife no longer, hangman. Nor mother either.
Eh?
Nor mother either, and you're the thing that's done it.
Oh, wait, what?
No. I tried to reach you. I tried to tell you. They said you wouldn't see me. What could I do? Your hand did it. Yours, hangman, yours.
What are you talking about, woman? What?
Tonight, Tom Allen. My maiden name was Allen. Don't you understand? You hung Tom Allen.
Well, and so I did. What of it, woman? What of it?
Tom Allen, hangman, was your son.
No.
Your son, you hear me, hangman, your son.
I began to run. Down the street, away from her, running. A man stepped out of the shadows. He stopped me. I couldn't see his face.
You killed my brother 7 years ago this night, hangman.
I said, no, leave me alone, I kept on running. A woman stopped me.
You killed my brother 7 years ago.
You hung my father, monster. You hung my father 11 years ago.
No, I said, no, let me go. I kept on running, but they kept after me, yelling, screaming. I kept on running, faster. New voices joined them. I looked back. The street was black with hundreds chasing me, yelling, screaming. I'd hung their sons, fathers, brothers. The street was black with them, I tell you, and every one of them akin to one of the 777 that had felt my rope. Chasing me. Hundreds of them yelling, screaming after my life, wanting my blood. Hands outstretched like claws to catch me, tear my flesh and stretch my eyes up. Running, run and catch me. No! That's the way I did it. Slammed the door, lost a pack of them. Every one of them, wives and sons and brothers of the 777. But they'll find me. They'll search me out. They're searching now. Yes, they'll find me. That's why my finger's on the pistol. The mob won't get me. No, the mob won't get me. Funny mob they were. Without bodies, just heads. Heads of people chasing me and yelling. They won't get me. No, they won't. When they find me here, when they knock on the door, I'll kill myself. And they're here outside the door.
You won't get me. Not you. Yes, I hung your sons, husbands, killed your friends, lovers, but that's not all. I hung my son. You hear me? Hung my son for 5 guineas. Hung my son.
Come in. Come in, all of you, and see me die.
And you mean to say he yelled out for you to come in and then he shot himself?
Yes, sir. It's the gold's truth. I knocked on the door. He yelled, come in. Come in, all of you, and see me die. And when I opened the door, bang, he did it.
And what were you banging on his door for this early in the morning? What were you after?
After nothing. I was looking for McDonald. Lives next house. I just knocked on the wrong door.
This is Mr. O. Arch Obler. Before we talk about next week's play, might I get a little nostalgic? In other words, look over my shoulder at yesterday? Have you ever stopped to think that if you go back into the imaginative literature of the past, call it fiction or science fiction or what have you, you'd be able to anticipate many of the great inventions and discoveries of the present, from landings on the moon to space travel to other planets to television, yes, radio, three-dimensional movies, faster-than-sound airplanes? Some writer, at some time long before the invention was even a gleam in the eye of an inventor, that imaginative writer put it all down on paper for the amusement of his readers. Which brings me to next week's play titled The Hungry One. But in my usual striptease manner, I'll tell you more about that right after this.
On a sun-parched desert, in a humid, tangled jungle, beneath the stars of a tropical seaport, these are the places that Hopis are found. Hopis, the people of Project Hope, sail to distant ports on a white hospital ship, or take up residence in our own Southwest with this common goal: to help others become medically self-sufficient. Project Hope's mission is not treat and run, it's treat and teach. Hopis teach medical skills to professional counterparts who are eager to learn new methods. And they teach willing workers with limited education the skills that help them contribute to the well-being of their own communities. Help Hope live on. Contribute to Project Hope, Room A, Washington, D.C.
This is Mr. O once more. Almost 30 years ago, I stood on my ranch, and across the nighttime sky flared a fantastic meteorite, so close that I thought it would strike right next to me. But as it came closer and closer, suddenly it flared up in its final pyrotechnics as the protective air around this globe heated it beyond the melting point of its stellar constituents. So, on that night so many years ago, I began to think, what if in that great meteorite that I'd just seen blow up in space had been travelers from another galaxy trying desperately to reach us? Now, mind you, that was many years before television and movies filled our screens with visitors from space. So, as I said at the start, next week some nostalgia. A 30-year-old story about travelers in space and a very macabre story titled The Hungry One. Next week. It is later than you think.
It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com, and our website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. This is program number 1913. We'll conclude the hour with an episode of The Jack Webb Show. Long before Jack Webb became famous as Police Sergeant Joe Friday, he hosted a short-lived sketch comedy series on ABC in 1946. Only two episodes of the series survive today. This is the second of the two. From April 17th, 1946 on ABC, it's The Jack Webb Show.
The following is transcribed.
No, it isn't.
The following is transcribed.
No, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is.
It is not.
Yes, it is.
It is not.
It is, too.
It is not.
It is.
It isn't.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
The following is not transcribed.
This week, the Major League Baseball season opened. In keeping with this, the American Broadcasting Company brings you the first foul ball of the season. It's the Jack Webb Show in its fifth consecutive strikeout. Nothing new has been added. The Ragged Airs will play tonight, but without their director, Phil Bavero, who only confused the men anyway. That spiritual singer, Clancy Hayes, of the firm of Haig & Haig & Hayes, will conduct his usual contest with the orchestra. She's young, she's pretty, she sings. That's three runs for our side, vocalist Nora McNamara. John Galbraith, an Oakland boy, and the only argument we can think of against the Bay Bridge, will play rats and second lieutenants and spooky people, and, oh yes, a wonderful gal with a wonderful voice has made a terrible mistake tonight. Midge Williams has agreed to set her career back 10 years with a guest appearance on the Jack Webb Show. My name is Jordan, and I'm going to find a nice, quiet room until this thing blows over. Why don't you do the same?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are all our listeners out there? Both of you. John Galbraith, put your glasses on so you can find the microphone and come on over here, will you?
Oh, Jack, my boy, that's certainly a healthy crop of freckles you picked up in the San Francisco sunshine.
What do you mean, freckles? Those are the holes in the microphone. Put them on, will you?
Yeah. Hey, of course, how stupid of me, Jack. Your head doesn't say ABC on it, does it?
Neither do yours, John. Don't we have a grand studio audience here tonight, John? Do you know who these boys are?
Who are the girls?
Finally got the... Oh, you finally got those glasses on, huh, John? Well, these men are 200 Army patients from Letterman General Hospital here in San Francisco, and most of them have only been in this country 4 days, some of them 1 day.
Jack, who are the girls?
I think we ought to have some ruffles and flourishes for the generals here tonight.
Who are the girls?
Welcome home, generals.
Who are the girls?
The girls, John.
Oh, say. Yeah.
There's 75 hostesses from the Oak Street USO.
Aren't they, though?
Yeah, well, I guess we ought to have some ruffles and flourishes for them, too, you know?
Yeah.
They've already got the ruffles. Let's just have the flourishes, shall we? That is the first time that those guys have ever gotten together since we went on the air. I don't
Presenting
a page torn from the private files of Slim Slade, Western bandleader.
We return to the little western town of Howdyville, where a group of citizens are talking. Howdyville, nobody quite knows how it got its name.
Howdy.
Slim Slade, just a poor old cowpoke out on the plains of Howdyville.
Hey, Slim, what you doing
Arthur!
Oh, just poking around the cows.
Well, come on over here. Got a letter for you with a city writing on it.
Letter with city writing, Didn't know nobody I knowed could write. Don't make no difference, though. I can't read.
Well, you don't have to, Slim. I done read it.
Oh, what do it say?
Oh, it don't say nothing, Slim. It's just a letter.
Well, I don't mean talk, say. I mean read, say.
Well, why don't you talk, say, what you mean, say?
Yeah.
It's from your brother.
Oh, that's Slick.
That's right. Signed Slick Slade.
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I'm going to get the boys. Hey, Weasel, Fox, and Snake. Sounds like a zoo, don't it? Come on over here, boys. Hey, anybody seen Enchilada Gomez?
See, Slade, I'm over here taking a little fiesta.
That's siesta.
See.
Come on over here, boys.
Well, howdy, Slim.
Howdy, 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 howdy. See, I got a letter from a brother in Hawaii.
Slim, I believe that's pronounced Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. I never was much good in them European names.
Go ahead, Weasel. Here's the letter.
Yeah, Weasel, what do it say?
Why, don't say nothing, Slim. It's just a letter.
Well, I don't mean talk, say. I mean read, say.
Why don't you talk, say, what you mean, say? It's from your brother.
Daggone, I know that.
Well, the letter says...
I thought you...
Quiet, Slim. Dear friend brother, I'm making lots of money. I never knowed when I left Fort Worth there was so doggone much money in the world. I'm making... lots of money.
Doggone, brother.
Doggone, brother. Money's one thing I got plenty of. Like Ma said, money can't buy friends. But who wants friends when you got this much money?
Doggone, brother. Sure must have struck it rich.
Doggone, brother. I sure struck it rich. I'm making plenty of money. I got myself a Western band, and we play Western music.
That's a novelty.
And we're all making lots of money over here in Hawaii. We call the Western band Slick Slade and his Gila Monsters. That is all for now on account of... I have run out of gold paper, which I write on, and besides, my 24-carat diamond pinpoint done busted. Your friend, your brother, Slick. P.S. I sure am making lots of money.
Brother Slick is right. We're going to do the same thing. We're all going to organize a Western band.
Good idea, Slim.
See, Slade, I think we better do it banana.
That's manana.
See.
Come on, saddle up, boys. We're going to ride to New York. I'm going to write the tunes on the way. All right, boys, come on, come on. Move in. We're going to rehearse a spell. Now, here's a tune I read. Music and notes by me. It's called... oh, this will kill you. When it's apple blossom time in Fort Worth.
Oh, that's awful pretty, Slim.
Yeah, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's play it through once. You ready on the drums, Enchilada? I want plenty of drums in this. All right, you ready, boys? Here we go. Play it just like she was wrote. Everybody set?
Hey, Slim, what's all these little black spots all over this paper?
I was wondering about that, too, Slim. Seems to me you could have got clean paper. Well, you know, as long as you was a-paying for it.
Them's notes. Them's what you play.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, now, come on. Here we go. I'm on count three. Are you ready? Put her in haw. I'll stomp my foot three times. Get set now. It's going to come fast. You got to be ready. Let's play her just like she was wrote. Don't leave nothing out. It's all good. If you get lost, keep it going. Don't go straggling all over this song like a doge. Come on. Relax. Tighten up. Smile. Frown, because you're going to enjoy this one. Steady in the saddle. I'm a-counting. One, two. Hold it. Hold it, boys. I better tell you. We're going to start this number on... three. You got that, boys, or you want to write it down? Here we go. One, two. Hold it, hold it. I guess I better announce our name just like we're going to do it uptown. Presenting Slim Slade and his makes you want to dance when they're playing a hoedown and just sit down and cry when they're playing a sad one, Western Band. You think that name's too long? Well, all right, here we go. Real down-to-earth music right out of the dirt. Put her in hall. Well, let's go. One, two. Hit it. I forgot I was supposed to say the number three. You've done right good on that one. You've done right good on when it's apple blossom time in Fort Worth. Now, I got another one I want to try. Music and notes by me. It's called Horsefly Pie and Apple Pan Howdy. All right, boys. One, two, kick it.
Doggone, I always forget to say three.
Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. That's mighty pretty, ain't it? Which one of those you like the best? Well, never mind. I got another one here I want to try. Music and notes by me. This is a sad one, boys. It's a prison song. It's called I Might As Well Be Sprung. Okay, let's do her. One, two, take her. Now, why didn't I say three? Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. Boys, boys, I gotta say, you sure are versatile. Them three are the prettiest tunes I ever did hear. Now, I think we're all ready to go. But before we do, I got one more tune I'd like to try. Music and notes by me. I call this one Bang, Bang, Bang Went My Six Gun. That's pretty, ain't it? Kind of nostalgic. All right, boys, one, two, play it. Now, what happened to three?
Slim Slade and his Western band. First, it's the Pennsylvania Roof. Then the Wedgwood Room of the Waldorf. Carnegie Hall, millions of phonograph records, radio coast to coast. Yes, Slim Slade and his band had arrived on the musical scene. And then, one day, disaster.
Boys, I got sad news. They tied the can to us. We're through. We've been fired plumb out of New York.
Oh, what's the trouble, Slim?
Well, the manager of that there radio station told me tonight that we wasn't versatile enough. Said all our tunes sounded alike. I don't know how he figured that. We got 47 tunes. All of them got different names. Music and notes by me. Come on, boys, pick up your instruments. Let's play a couple of them numbers and see what that fella's talking about. All right, the Go Down Ho Down. That's good, that's good. Hey, wait a minute. Hold it just a minute. Them drums ain't quite loud enough, Enchilada. A little of that melody sneaked through in one place. Okay, more drums this time, and let's hear the Gila Monster Waltz. Okay. Now I want to hear one more. I want to hear Oh, You Beautiful Texas. It's pretty. I love it. All right, now listen. Now let's go back. Let's do a little reviewing. Let's go way back. Let's hear our first hit. The tune that brung us here. When it's apple blossom time in Fort Worth. Okay, boys. Oh, that, no. That fella don't know what he's talking about. Them's four of the prettiest tunes I ever heard. But we're going back to Texas. I'm plumb played out. I ain't got another tune in me. I'm just like that fella Irvine Berlin. Only he's got someone to help him with them lyrics. I got to write the notes myself. Saddle up, boys. We're all through. We're going back to poking cows. If we stay here any longer, we're going to get in a rut.
Sure is good being back in Texas, ain't it?
Yeah, I don't miss that Pennsylvania roof, none. Fella by the name of Benny Goodman done moved in after us.
Who's he?
Oh, here comes Slim now. Well, howdy, Slim Slade.
Howdy. Saddle up, boys. We're going back to New York. I've done it again. We got it this time. I wrote a new tune. Music and notes by me, boys. Get this. This is going to be a snapper, this title. It's called When It's Apple Blossom Time in Corpus Christi.
My baby don't care for clothes, my baby don't care for shows, my baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for silks and laces, my baby don't care for high-toned places. My baby don't care for rings and other expensive things, she's sensible as can be. My baby don't care who knows it. My baby just cares for me. My don't care for clothes. My baby don't care for shows. My baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for silks and laces. My baby don't care for high-toned places. My baby don't care for rings and other expensive things. She's sensible as can be. My baby don't care who knows it. My baby just cares for me.
Inside Hollywood. Presenting Hollywood's own beloved, sweet, darling, pretty, vivacious, lovable...
Yes.
Runella Carsons. Miss Carsons.
Thank you, ugly boy. Good evening, all my friends here in Movie Land. Tonight, instead of my usual drivel... must be a typographical error. They must mean trivia. I'm speaking to you from the sound stages of Stupendous Pictures, and I want you to look in with me. Shall we be off?
Quiet! Quiet on the set! Quiet! Somebody's still breathing. Where's my assistant director, Rodney Reel?
Oh, yes, sir. Did you want me, sir?
Reel, you're all wound up. Remember, I'm a busy, busy, busy man directing this picture.
Of course, Monty.
As far as I'm concerned, Reel, you're just about run out. Now... now, what did I tell you to call me on the set?
You mean what the extras call you?
No, no, not that. Oh, oh. You know.
Yes. Montague Close-Up Muldoon, Director Supreme of Stupendous Pictures, Incorporated.
Well, you can leave off the Incorporated when we're among friends. I'm a busy, busy, busy man. This is no B picture, you know. Have we spent any money lately?
We spent $40,000 just 10 minutes ago.
I said lately. What'd you spend it for, Reel?
A bathing suit for the leading lady.
This is no B picture. Give me that checkbook. I'm going to write out a check for another $40,000. Let's get both pieces of that bathing suit. It's indecent. Reel, have I told you lately that I'm a busy, 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 busy man?
Yes, Mr. Busy. I mean Mr. Muldoon. Now, about this army picture, Mr. Muldoon, I want to tell you something.
Listen, Reel, you can't tell me anything about the army. I know that outfit from A to Z. I was a full colonel in this war, and I spent the entire duration in Washington, D.C. Now, what about that desert scene?
Well, we're having difficulty finding a desert big enough to hold 2,000 troop transports.
Now, listen, if MacArthur could afford to use 1,000 troop transports, Stupendous Pictures can afford to use 2,000.
But there's no desert big enough.
Well, I told you to buy Death Valley. If you don't hurry, they'll start a housing project out there. Reel, you've slipped your spool for the last time with me. I'm taking over the entire production of this picture personally. I promised the Secretary of War that this army picture would be ready 3 days ago. I'll keep that promise.
Yes, Mr. Muldoon.
Have you got that explosion scene ready?
Yes, sir.
Well,
the bomb men have been working on it for 2 weeks. I think you'll like it.
Well, let's have it. This picture is costing me $1 million a day. It's not long enough. Do it again. Well, I'm off for the desert. Forgot my checkbook. Quiet! Quiet! Quiet on the desert! Quiet! Well, Reel, What's your excuse this time?
Well, Mr. Muldoon,
I don't see a drop of water out here anywhere.
But, Mr. Muldoon...
I told you to flood this entire desert under 26 feet of water. Now, what are we going to do with Esther Williams? In this picture, she won't swim. Well, in this picture, she just won't swim. She'll have to ride a camel, that's all. By the way, I don't see those camels anywhere.
But, Mr. Muldoon...
I suppose you're going to tell me that you forgot. You forgot a little thing like 30,000 camels. Oh.
Mr. Muldoon, there is something that this army picture I've been trying to tell you.
Well, real, you're all mixed up. I know what you mean, though. Is this what you call a crowd? I asked for 100,000 Arabs, but do I get them? No, there's practically nobody out there. Looks like a group of Republicans lined up to vote.
Mr. Muldoon, I've been thinking...
Impossible. Where's the telephone?
Why?
Why, I'll tell you why. I want a crowd out there. I'm going to call Washington. Mr. Truman's the only one that's got 100,000 men not doing anything.
Well, Mr. Muldoon, there's no telephone way out here in the desert.
No, who says so? When Muldoon wants a telephone, Muldoon gets a telephone. Why, there's probably one hanging right here on this banana tree. By the way, Real, where are those banana trees? Well, never mind. You've got a nickel?
Here you are, Mr. Muldoon. 5 cents.
Well, this picture's costing us a lot of money. Hello? What number did I dial? Well, how should I know what number I dialed? I'm a busy, busy, busy man. Give me the White House. No, I won't wait. I want the White House. I'm a busy, busy, busy man. Hello, White House? I want to talk to you know who. Is he busy? Yeah, he's busy. I'll call later.
Mr. Muldoon, there's something about this army picture you ought to know.
Real, you're off the track again. Have I fired you today?
No, Mr. Muldoon.
I haven't? You're fired!
Well, I'll be a second lieutenant.
All right. Now, places, everybody. Hurry up. It's going to take all day for 300,000 people to get set. You back there, stop blinking your eye. Now, when I give the signal, all 300,000 of you Arabs run out to that clearing in the desert. Now, the army planes, wait a minute. Yep, they're up there circling around. All right. At a signal from me, they'll swoop down and strafe you. They're using real bullets, so be careful. If any of you get mowed down, don't worry. You won't spoil the scene. This is only a rehearsal.
Mr. Muldoon, I just came out to tell you the picture is finished.
It is?
Well, that's fine.
All you Arabs out there, you can all go home. This army picture is finished.
There's only one thing wrong, Mr. Muldoon.
Well, what's that, Real?
What I've been trying to tell you all along. This picture was not ordered by the Secretary of War.
It wasn't?
No. No, that letter was from the Secretary of the Navy. This army picture was supposed to be a Navy picture.
It's the blues. It's Midge Williams.
Out on a plane down near Santa Fe, I met a cowboy riding the range one day, and as he jumped along, I heard him singing the most peculiar cowboy song. It was a ditty he learned in the city. Come to aye, come to ippie, I get along. Get hip, little dog, get along. Better be on your way, get along. Get hip, little doggy, and he trucked him on down the old fairway, singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come at the aye aye, come at the ippy aye, singing his cowboy song. He's just too much. He's got a knockout western accent with a collar. He was raised on local meat. He's what you call a thing half breed. Singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come at the aye, come at the ippy aye. Why get along? Get hip, little doggy, get along. Better be on your way, get along. Get hip, little doggy, and he trucked him on down the old fairway, singing his cow-cow boogie in the strangest way. Come to I-I-I, come to I-I-I, singing his cowboy song. He's just too much. He's got a knockout western accent with that howling touch. He was raised on local cheese. He's what you call a swing half-breed. Singing his cow-cow boogie in the strangest way. Come to I-I-I, come to I-I-I-I. Yip, 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 yip. Come to I-I-I-I-I.
Stand by. Here's the news you've been waiting all week to hear. Here's the news thousands of you want to hear.
Folks, he's talking about the results of our Ginger Peachy contest announced last week. Remember, we told you to write a letter on the subject, how to get the Jack Webb Show off the air.
Didn't work, did it?
Well, John, clean your glasses and read the winning letter.
Here it is, Jack. In part, it says, I read from the letter, quote chapter one entitled The Process of Air Fumigation for How to Get the Jack Webb Show off the air. The solution is to have each person in the country take deeper and more breaths, and it won't be long until all the air is used up, and then there'll be no air for Webb to be on.
How silly.
And it's signed Betty Ford, Pyramid Court, Sparks, Nevada. Congratulations, Miss Ford.
I hate you, Miss Ford. But enough of these pats on the back for Miss Ford. She wants to know what she's won. By the way, what did she win?
Oh, boy, she won, and how what she won.
Well, what did she win?
Well, Nora McNamara, we'll just put that geometry book away for a minute and come up here.
John, you don't mean we're giving Nora away.
No, Webb, no. Nora has the prize. And
oh,
here it is.
My, look at that thing, a king-size egg. Isn't that beautiful? What is that, John?
It's a genuine ostrich egg, laid fresh this morning from the California Ostrich Farm in Southern California. Yes, friends, this is a Hollywood egg.
Yes, sir, this ostrich egg has been autographed by all members of the cast, including John Galbraith, who makes his usual X. Ooh, and it has been lacquered and placed on the solid wooden base. And all this, with our best wishes, will be shipped air express to the winner of this week's contest, Betty Ford, Sparks, Nevada.
Well, right now...
Tonight's egg was laid by the Ragged Airs, Clancy Hastings, and Casey Guesses with a vocal. Midge Williams as guest stars, teed off on a couple of songs. John Galbraith and Ethel Sterling missed their cues. Dick Breen glued the joints together. And this is Jack Webb. Give us another chance next Wednesday night at 9:30, will you? Good night, gang. See you then.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
And that does it for this hour of Old Time Radio. My name is Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.